Hello and welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, your unofficial weekly podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marco's Chipper. You canna beat his gran doing it, Marco's. I'm Colin Byers and with me as usual is Martin Smith. Martin, hello.
Hello.
Right, this week we're going to be looking back at the trip to Montrose. With the transfer window now firmly shut, we'll assess Jim's business done in the winter window. And we'll preview the crucial home game against Forfa. So, Martin, how are we?
Very well, thanks. Yourself?
Not too bad. So, it's another week by we. Into February already.
I know. Maybe. Where's the time going?
It just zips past so quick. It is unreal. Right, so, another pulsating, high-scoring game doing it to Montrose again, then, eh?
Aye, it was certainly a cracker.
It was a cracker. Two back-to-back 4-3 games, reminiscent of the old Liverpool-Newcastle scenario for about 20-odd years ago, but we were on the wrong end of it again, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It seems to be the way things are at the moment.
Certainly seem to be struggling defensively. It's a big issue that I certainly think we've got. We've gone down to Lynx Park twice now this season, twice we've conceded 4 goals, so it's disappointing and something I think we really need to address.
Yeah, so let's get to the game then. There was only one change, which was quite unusual for Jim. McCarthy got his first start in place for Conroy. Conroy, I thought, had a pretty particularly poor game against Dumbarton the previous week, so that may have come into his thinking. But again, he set up with a 4-4-2. McCarthy played on the right, and it looked, on all intents and purposes, quite a well-balanced side, he put it again.
Yeah, I think this 4-4-2 is certainly something that we can go forward with. I think it's a system that a player seems to be well-suited to as well. That's maybe helped with the January window, that these players that he's taken in have fitted in well. So yeah, on the basis, it looked like a good team in formation.
It looked a good team on paper, but as we know, football's not played on paper.
No.
So let's kind of go through it then. The goals that they scored. Scott Brown said afterwards in the game that he found no excuse for the defence. He was pretty scathing about the defence in particular. Do you think he's right? Do you think he's been overly critical maybe?
I don't think he's been over critical. No, I think it's actually quite refreshing to hear the captain come out and say, look, defensively, not only in this game but the whole season, when I've been good enough, we've spoken about it many times on here, that again, defensive errors and mistakes have cost us points, and it's good to see him come out in the press and say, look, we weren't good enough, and it's something that we really do need to address going forward.
Yeah, and you look at the goals that were scored. The first one, yeah, we're all going to agree that it came from the throw-in, which really shouldn't have been a throw-in.
Yeah.
It was a throw-in, obviously, but it wasn't a throw-in for Montrose. It should have gone the other way.
But you very quickly got to regroup.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I would say in that sense.
That's the thing. I think Jim had said as well that they'd switched off slightly. I wouldn't just necessarily agree with that as such. Because by the time the guy took the throw in, it was a good 30 seconds from where he actually took it.
Yeah.
But what I will say is McCarthy kind of lost his man and he allowed it to go in. Ballantyne to get in and he scored a goal. He just kind of ghosted in pretty easily. Everybody else was set. Everybody else had their man, but he just let him drift in.
Yeah, he lost his man and it's inevitably it's him that scored, but I think he's still thinking about the throw-in. What is it, 2-3 minutes into the game? He's appealed for it, he hasn't got it. They've very quickly got to regroup and switch on, because you switch off for a second like he has and you see we've gone a goal down.
Yep, and the second one again. It's just a long punt up the park for about the halfway line. The guy's just playing a ball up front. I think he's actually trying to pass the enemy. He's just putting it up there. And the problem being is there's two defenders and the goalkeeper within the vicinity, and he still manages to score.
Yeah, that seems disappointing, in my opinion, for Greg Fleming's point of view, because it's not the first time this season that Greg's come out of his box or made a decision that we're not quite agreed with. To me, he's made the striker's mind up for him by he sort of come for it, but it's almost like he's come too late, and then he's caught in no man's land. He doesn't kind of fit his quite D in, and in the end, the striker's getting about him, and two defenders are left lying in a heap. I think it's poor.
Yeah, I think the disappointing thing is from where the ball was played from, and where the ball's landed, it's had a long time to travel. And if Greg is fully confident, he would have come out and cleared that, made the decision for the defenders and made it easier for the defenders just by coming out. It, obviously, he's not going to be able to catch it, I don't think, but he could come out, head it, clear it, yeah, or whatever. But he's previously, we've said before, I think it was a few games ago, it was a home game, where he'd come out and said that it was his error because he made a call and tried to go for the ball, but he didn't get there in time,
yeah,
and which resulted in a goal. So I think that's maybe been playing on his mind, whereas this time he's sort of stayed back, then he's hesitated, then he's gone forward, then he's come back, and then he's gone forward again. But that time, as you said, he's in no man's land, he's got nowhere to go.
Which, when we're criticising the defending, obviously defenders will take part of the blame, but you know, you want your goalkeeper to be reliable. And as you said, we had this a couple of weeks ago, and now he's done it again on Saturday. That confidence that your defenders would have in your goalkeeper, that seems to be dwindling as well.
Yeah.
And you wonder whether that is causing, you know, it's lapses in concentration with our defence, and you just wonder whether it starts with the goalkeeper.
If you look at the ages of the defence, apart from the central defenders in particular, Brown and Hooper were playing ever since Saturday. The guys that's on the bench, you've got Ferguson and Edie, they're all young defenders. So if Greg, in his position as a senior player, can instill a bit of confidence in them by taking command and saying, right, I'm going to drive this defence, I'm going to make sure everything's sorted, and be commanding and be confident in his decisions, they'll grow in confidence as well.
Yeah.
Whereas just now, I think everything's... We obviously praise him from time to time when he makes his penalty saves and all that things, but overall, there are errors coming in, and it's things like this where he doesn't seem to be as commanding as he should be, that causes goals like that to happen.
Yeah, it's the inconsistency within, you know, one week we're saying a really good game, the next week we're saying poor errors.
Yeah.
You know, we'll sit in the stand and we'll watch the game with, and you sometimes think to yourself, they're quite confident with that defensive. You've got to think, well, how's the defenders feeling? If that's us sitting in the stand and watching the game, mm-hmm, how are the players that are playing alongside him? How do they react to mistakes or what they potentially think he might do or might not do in this case?
It's interesting that he's dropped Edie. He's played Dunlop. He's dropped Dunlop. He's played Brown, and he's dropped Brown for various games and that. But Fleming seems to be in every game.
Yeah.
Is there an argument that maybe we change the goalkeeper? I know it's a strange time of the year to be changing the goalkeeper. We've got a young guy on the bench, he's yet to play.
You've got to be wondering what he's thinking, because he must be watching this thinking, well, you know, it's a couple of mistakes new goalkeeper's made, and yet I'm still, for the outside, it doesn't look like he's any closer to getting in.
Yeah.
Jim maybe has different ideas, but it is maybe something that, even if it's for one game, it might just be the kick up the backside, so to speak, that Fleming might think, well, you know, I've got to improve my game, I've got to be organising the defence better, or else his position would be in jeopardy.
I know Lenny probably was signed and signed on the basis that he was going to be a backup or a second choice, whatever you want to call it, but a guy of his age would be looking to say, right, I need games, I need to be playing. We've already lost Sam Henderson already, so there is only the two goalkeepers we could be picking from, I should say. But certainly it might be something that in the back of Jim's mind, he might be thinking, well, actually, we need somebody to marshal the defence slightly better.
Yep.
And that can be the goalkeeper. It doesn't necessarily have to be another defender, but it could be the goalkeeper. I know we haven't had Simon Ferry for a few weeks, just sitting in front, as we probably would have done. But again, it's just the confidence. Somebody needs to instill confidence in that defence again.
Yeah.
And whether or not, again, it's going to come from a goalkeeper or another defender, it's just not again.
Like you say, we've dropped pretty much everybody in the back four within the last 6-7 weeks. It maybe does come a point where he thinks, well, I've tried changing the defence about, I've tried changing systems, it maybe is the personnel. This is not a criticism of Greg, we have praised him before, but just on the basis of the last couple of weeks, you just start to question whether he could be dealing with a break as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's played every game so far this season. He played every game last season as well, so he's played a lot of games. There are examples of goalkeepers being dropped for two or three games just to kind of refresh things a little bit, and then they come back in again. It does happen, so... you know, match fatigue, maybe, or mental fatigue, things like that come into it as it is. But you never know. It might be something he might be thinking about again in the summertime about his goalkeeping situation. But yeah, back to the game again. The third goal again was particularly poor. Just really not clear on their lines. Stevenson, I think this time can be the one to take the blame for this goal.
Yeah, I think he sort of squaffed it a wee bit, didn't he? He tried to clear his lines, he sort of missed sight, he sort of twisted to try and get back on, and the ball's going across on the goal. It's a bit of a calamity.
It just kind of summed up the game, summed up the season, really. He just summed it just to get their foot through it. That's all they needed.
Just lump into the stand and just get a good connection on it, but it's not happened.
Just get rid of it. And then their fourth goal, it's come for a free kick, which has just been lumped into the box. And again, he's lost his marker. And I don't think he should be scoring for a header for 13, 14 yards out, especially with the ball going away from goal.
No. I think it would be quite easy, based on what we've said in the last 5-6 minutes, to be critical of Greg Fleming on this scene. Got a wee bit of sympathy for him because it sort of looped over him. I think he'd be expecting a header for that sort of range either. He's sort of maybe taken a step or two forward and it's looped over. Criticised in the last couple of minutes, but I think he's a wee bit hard done by in that, and it's looped over.
I mean, there is an argument that he could probably do that another 9 times, and 9 times he'd probably win the score.
Exactly, yeah.
This is one of those that he's gotten lucky. He's got a decent sort of connection on it. And it's, as you said, it's looped over. But the Peterhead goals, as I said, the last time we were doing there, we conceded 3 worldly goals. This time round, I think we've been in with a shout for 3 pretty good goals there as well.
Oh, absolutely, some cracking finishes.
Cook's one for the first one was a brilliant way to open his account.
Aye, and delighted for him. Like you said, he's getting his first goal. Just a pity it's coming in the reverse of a 4-3 defeat.
And he's hit it quite sweet, 35 yards out. I mean, if that's the start of it, what we're expecting for the rest of the year for him, I mean, we're in for a few good goals.
He certainly set the benchmark pretty high.
And Lyle got it the second. You think maybe there's a slight nick on this one for the defender? It's quite looped up.
Yeah, ever so slight. It's difficult to tell from where we've seen it. But yeah, I think perhaps a slight nick, which is why it's looped up as high as it did. But nevertheless, it's good.
It's a good, finish. It's an instinctive finish.
Yeah.
It's a finish from a natural goal scorer. If you put somebody else in there, then maybe we wouldn't have done that. But yeah, he got a good finish. And then the captain got the third with another brilliant goal. He seems to be scoring them this season.
Yeah, I really like that finish. It's so easy to blast them over, lean back, and it's, you know, high and wide. But no, a really good composed finish by Scotty on that.
Composed finish. So the game, as I said, the game itself probably sums up the season so far. I mean, we created plenty of chances, but we just couldn't score. And at the same time, we've defended really, really poorly. And that's just how things have gone.
Yeah, struggling to take our chances, conceding daft goals at the back. You know, you just need to take a couple more of your chances, cut out the silly mistakes, and all of a sudden you're 7-8 points better off and looking a lot better for it. Like you said, it's a story of our season, really, isn't it?
I mean, we're going down there and we've had almost double the amount of opportunities as the home side. And yet we've still come away with absolutely nothing. I mean, I'd noted that we've, at 2-0 and 3-0, we had about 6 or 7 chances alone.
Yeah.
We could have gotten ourselves back in the game. Even at 3-1, there was another 2 or 3 chances. And even at 4-3, Jack Leach has a couple of great chances. One, I think he'll be more miffed about than the other one. I think the one right to death.
Yeah, he gets that's it, the one.
Over the bar. He just gets his body shape all wrong. But again, that word confidence comes into it. Because if he's been banging the man this season, he gets his body shape all right and he scores it. There were maybe a slight anxiety just to get it.
Yeah.
To hit the target. Because to be fair, where he was from, he just needs to hit the target.
Hit a target and he scores that, and yeah, definitely.
And then we're all praising the fact that we've come back for 4-1, don't we? Get a draw in fourth.
Twice we've gained him on throws and scored 3 goals, and we've come away with no points both times.
Yeah, and that needs to. And it's the early goals again, which doesn't help.
No, we've got Habak conceding early goals, and that's something that. Yeah. I'm sure Jim's tearing his hair out as well, because he probably bangs on about it, saying keep it tight, first 10, 15 minutes, frustrate them, and then we go and get you sound daft.
Well, I'd like to think the amount of times that we've mentioned it, I'm hoping the manager's been mentioning it more times than we've had, but it's getting quite worrying, the early goals that seem to be conceding. But I here's my big start. I've been warning you about my big start. Here's my
I'm waiting for this one.
This is it. Right, so Peterhead have played 29 games League and Cup this season and conceded 43 goals. So that's 1.5 goals a game. So obviously if you want to win games, you have to score 2 goals. But we've only scored 32, which is just over 1 goal a game. Now, out of those 43 goals that we've conceded, we've conceded 30% have been coming in the first 15 minutes this season.
Yeah, not a bad start, I'll give you that one. Yeah.
You could add another 4 goals inside the first 20 minutes, and that's 37% of the goals that we've conceded.
And therein lies our problem this season,
so
early goals.
Within the first 15 minutes, we're behind. Now, if you look at the games that we have conceded earlier, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of them we've lost. Only one game that we've won, that was when we beat Cove in the Betfred. They scored early on, remember?
Yeah, that's right,
yeah. And we turned it 2-1, but we've lost 10 games. 4 of them have been to Wraith, 2 of them have been to Airdrie, 2 of them to Falkirk, and 2 of them to Montrose. And who's in the top 3?
Yeah, exactly.
Wraith, Airdrie and Falkirk.
We always say when we play Wraith and Falkirk, then I give them early goals. And naturally, that's exactly what we do.
That's exactly what we've done. We've lost every game bar one where we've conceded within the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's quite a start, I'll give you that one.
It's when you see it like that, you think, well...
It's quite alarming as well. At the same time, you know, we're having a wee joke about it now, but that is quite a stat that over 30% of our goals conceded early and we didn't win the game.
Yeah, we didn't win the game. Because you're 1-0 doing all right, it's an early blow. You're behind straight away. Rather than, as always say, can ease yourself into the game. Can keep it tight first 15-20 minutes.
It's cliche, but as you can see, it's very important in a game that you do start well. Even if you're not playing great, then I concede or do something stupid.
And the problem being now is we've got a busy February. Our next 4 games: Forfar at home, East Fife away, Airdrie at home, and Stranraer away. Obviously, the bottom two we play, so it's in our hands to get away from them. The way that we're playing, you just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we could probably go the way things are going. We could make it beat by Forfar, but then go to East Fife and win.
Yeah. It's
it sounds, but that's just how things are.
I'd probably say it's the biggest month in the season in terms of we are playing now that you know the league sort of settled down. We are playing Falkirk and Stranraer.
There's only 8 or 9 games after that.
Yeah, so it's
so
really
the games
crucial.
Are really, really running.
Yeah,
and the way that the table is as well. We're 11 points ahead of Stranraer at the moment. They've got a game in hand, so. Aggregate could be 8. By the end of the month, they could only be 2 points in front, 2 points behind, I should say.
Yeah, it's not worrying, but it's a psychological factor.
Yeah,
you know, at one point, Forfar, they were getting beat by Clyde. They've come back.
Yeah.
To win the game. It's that psychological effect that, you know, we've gone into the dressing room after the game, we've got them beat, and then we've seen the Forfar score, and, you know, they've won, they've closed the gap to 3 points, and then also it's the team we're playing next.
Yeah.
It all comes in, the psychological things, the side of things, I should say.
Yeah, and as I said, the games are kind of running out pretty quick, so we need to do something. I mean, even just trying to get, if we can get 2 or 3 wins on the bounce, I think the way the league is, that would take it out with that kind of scenario. But it's just getting stringing those wins.
It's getting that win together. Yeah. It's a problem.
That's a big problem. So that's that game sort of covered. I guess we've come away with no points again. I just think it. Tale of the two goalkeepers. I think Aaron Lennox probably had a decent game for Montrose. He is a decent sort of youngish kind of goalkeeper as well. He's had a decent game, but again, some of the chances that we've missed probably could have done better.
Yeah, a combination of poor finishing and good goalkeeping.
Yeah,
has been what I'm doing on that one. I think because it's daft. We've lost 4-3, but I don't think we played particularly bad. We created chances.
I think there were spells that we were probably the better team, and ironically, we were probably 2-0 or 3-0 down at the time.
Which never the first time this season no. The game behind them played well
and
afterwards.
I think Scott Brown in particular showed his captaincy kind of traits, if you like. As I said last week, he's going to kind of go out and probably take the game by the scruff of the neck, and he did that on occasions as well. So it's just a pity the rest the rest didn't eat either, but well, maybe that'll rub off him later on. Right, so the January transfer window is now shut. Jim's business for the window, we believe, is over. Although free transfers can still happen if they were released before the end of the window from the club. So it was basically it started off pretty quiet the first couple of weeks. There was nothing happening. And then all of a sudden we had three in and three out. Overall, what do you think of his business?
Based on the only two games that we've seen, the guys have come in, I think it's a very positive window. I came with lost Rory, but I think we've recruited very well. Younger players, they can see they've got a bit of hunger about them. They've come in for their clubs and have been getting game time. They've come to us, and I think it's good additions by Germany's team.
We spoke at length of McAllister's departure, and we mentioned Dunlop's as well. We had mentioned Ross Willocks's departure last week. We've been in this scenario before where we've seen a young player go out on loan and then decide that his options are better elsewhere. Now, by all accounts, Ross was doing particularly well at Faysborough, and I think he's a kind of player who would who could play at a higher level, and I think maybe this move is just for him to get, as I said before, game time.
Yeah.
Because he was well liked, and as I said, he was doing well at Faysborough. He's won a couple of trophies there already. In fact, he won a trophy in his debut, if I remember correctly. But I would think the door would be open for a player like him to return again.
Yeah, he's a good player, and it's disappointing that we've lost him. But he obviously feels that a move away will benefit his career, and you kind of stand in the way of that, and good luck to him. It's that situation where he wants to play games, he needs a game time, and obviously Jim can't guarantee him that at Balmour at the moment. You know, that could change come the summer, depending on the business that happens, or, you know, we can come back to that in a couple of years' time.
Yeah.
So, it's probably, Jim didn't want to back his career by keeping it Peterhead if he wasn't going to get the games. Ross is obviously wanting the games. So, it's probably a transfer that's worked out for all parties in the end.
And we're sort of overstocked with midfielders, if you like. So, he probably, as you said, wasn't going to get a game anytime soon. He's in a short window again for the rest of the season. He maybe wants to stay long term in Faysborough, but you never know. But yeah, I would like to think that Jim's going to keep an eye on him and maybe bring him back again.
Yeah, definitely a player we should be keeping tabs on.
Yeah. So that was the three outs. The three ins, Boyd, Cook and McCarthy. Again, It's different style players, as in like age bracket, I should say, for what Jim's usually been signing, which might be a departure from what he's been doing, which might be a long term solution to what he's been doing. As we said before last week, after the Dumbarton game, Boyd's a player. He's going to be a star player for us, I think.
Yeah, he looks very good.
So if we can keep him, we've got him for 18 months, I think his contract was, so that's a decent piece of business. McCarthy got his first start on Saturday, and again, didn't really do nothing too wrong, apart from obviously we said the first goal, he let his player go for the first goal, but I think these guys, because they haven't been playing enough games recently for their previous clubs, they're going to take time to adapt and to get to their match sharpness.
Yeah, we've seen that with Gary Fraser when he came in.
Yeah,
start of the season, he was struggling a wee bit. Once he got his match sharpness and fitness up, he was a good signing as well. So I'm sure the guys will be the same that's come in.
The only issue is we're now in February. We've only got a handful of games left. A dozen games left, I think it is. So they need to find this match sharpness quickly.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come within the next couple of weeks, or fingers crossed it comes in the next couple of weeks, because as we said, February's a pivotal month for us going forward in the league.
It is. So that kind of, looking at the squad as a whole then, is there any areas you think you'd have liked to have improved or added, or do you think we're sorted in most areas?
Sorted in most areas, maybe centre half, maybe slightly light. Obviously, we've lost Mickey Dunlop there as well. Probably somebody coming in to reassure the back line, as we've spoken about before, with Greg maybe not quite there as such. So, probably centre half, in my opinion.
Yeah, because if you look at the ages of the defenders, they are young guys. I mean, even Edie on the bench on Saturday. He seems to have kind of fallen out of favour slightly a bit as well, which is quite strange. But apart from Boyle and Stevenson, the rest of the guys are all pretty young. So I think you'd have liked to have had an experienced centre half alongside. It's maybe not something you could pick up quite easily.
No.
But you'd have liked to have that extra defender there, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you never know if it can happen in the next couple of weeks. I think we can still sign folk up until the end of February, is it? If it's a free transfer,
free transfer,
get registered in the league. So you never know, there's maybe somebody out there floating about that would do a job for us. But it would be that you're almost looking for a certain type of player, and it's maybe the footwork that he can do, but his ability to organise a defence and marshal and communicate well. I think that's really what we're missing. We've got guys that can defend on their day, but it's maybe somebody that almost like a Simon Ferry type personality, but in your back four, somebody you can organise and marshal well.
I think Brown and Hooper are good players, but I think sometimes they're lacking in that strength. You know, somebody can just like be a bit more kind of burly. Not Craig Burley, but you know, a burly sort of guy, a big kind of unit at the back. You know, a 6'4" kind of defender who's going to clear every ball that comes in. Just missing that kind of player, I think, because as I said, the two guys are good, and they seem to play well together, as we mentioned before as well. But I think you just miss that somebody who can just every time a ball comes in for a long ball or a cross or a corner or anything like that, they're there and you know they're going to be there.
You need that commanding tower and centre back that we're looking for.
That's what you're looking for. And just another note as well, to do with the defenders, the eagle eyed of you would have noticed that Hooper and Brown both changed numbers on the at the Martin game, and they've had the same numbers again this last week. The way that the League One works, there is no squad numbers as such, but they are free to use any numbers, like hence why Derek Lyle uses the number 99, for example. But it was interesting to note that Jason Brown's now got the number 5 jersey, which was given up by Dunlop after his departure. And we believe there's no sort of rhyme or reason for it. The players didn't ask for the change; they were just told that was the reason for it. They were told they were changing numbers. But the number 5 usually is the senior centre half.
Yeah.
So I just think it was interesting that Jason Brown's now got that number. Maybe as a confidence builder for him to say, right, you're now the senior centre half, potentially.
Yeah, I haven't quite thought on it like that, actually. Nice. So, yeah, always thinking, aren't
you? Oh, I see, yeah. I've had my stats, it's been a long week, let me tell you. I've been thinking that's kind of thing. But I just think it, something like that might just give the player a bit of a boost. You know, we said it before about the captain's armband going to Scott Brown, him getting a boost for that. Maybe something like this for Jason Brown is the thing he needs just to kind of build his confidence.
Yeah.
And let him, he maybe is that kind of player who needs the arm around his shoulders all the time, and he needs to be told that he's good. He needs to be told that he is, you know, a better player than he thinks he is.
It's a lot of things like that in football that can give you that little yard, you know, extra above someone. So if it's a little confidence boost that Jim's getting by giving them the number five, is that it's a senior defender, yeah, then, you know, I'm all for it. Anything that can give you that yard ahead is good for us.
Yeah, and you never know. It might, as I said, it might just help them in the long run. But yeah, so next game we've got Forfar on Saturday at home. It is a big game.
Massive.
It is a big, big game. more so after the results on Saturday. One key thing I think will be the return of Simon Ferry after his suspension. So if you're bringing in Simon Ferry, does that then mean that, I mean, obviously we're assuming he's going to start straight away.
Yeah.
So if he's going to start, does he then tinker with the formation again? Or does he stick with the 4-4-2 and just have Brown and Ferry in the midfield?
Catch 22 situation, because I like the 4-4-2. I came when we lost at Montrose, but the performance was good and I felt that the team was well suited to that formation. At the same time, you can't have Simon Ferry in A playing, especially yeah, in such a big game as well. So I'd almost like to like shoehorn him into that 4-4-2 and have him in midfield with Scott Brown, because it's a massive game. Kind of highlight it when I'm there. It's such an important game that we do get 3 points. So you need your best players. So Simon Ferry would, to me, come in. Hopefully, be a 4-4-2.
If it's still 4-4-2, you can still be attacking as such, but you just have Simon Ferry sitting in there and just say to Scott Brown, right.
Yeah, he's got the freedom to go up and do box to box.
Scott's going to do that anyway. He's going to get box to box. But it just means that if he does go forward, he knows there is cover there as well. So obviously Leach won't be in there. Do you play him wide? Do you drop him? Do you even put him in a number 10 position, have him play him off Boyd, for example?
Yeah, I mean, there is options there. I think he's almost got a fully fit squad now.
I think so, for the first time in a long time.
Yeah,
I think,
off the top of my head, I don't think we've got anyone out injured.
We're a full bench on Saturday, which is unusual as well.
So I think that we're in a position now where we've got everybody back. Yeah, he maybe does put Jack out wide, put him in a number 10. I do like the two up top. And against Forfar, they are a team that can see goals. I would probably personally like to see two up top.
Yeah, I think Jack would probably find himself unlucky if he's not playing. But again, I think Cook probably would find himself unlucky if he's dropped as well. He may decide that McCarthy is going to be the one that gets dropped and Leach plays off the right, or Cook plays off the right, or they sort of interchange and stick with the two. I hope it is the two again, because I think at home it will make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think Boyd's going to be a player that's going to get dropped very often.
No.
It just depends on who he's going to be playing with, that's the thing. But it's one win and one loss so far against Forfar, and the records that we've both got in the league show it's quite tight. There is only 3 points of difference, and that's because we've won one more game than they have. Only Forfar have lost more games than Peter Head has.
Oh, and another stat that you've thrown out there.
Stats so it does show you how crucial this game is going to be, because they could be level with come 5 o'clock on Saturday.
I don't think neither team scores that many goals either, although we concede a lot, both teams. neither of us score that many. So it's even more crucial, that first goal in this game. And we'll go back to what we've said many a times before, that then I concede an early goal.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's even more crucial. We spoke about it, build your way into the game, you know, and then reassess it after 15-20 minutes, maybe a slight tinker about formation to try and go and attack, because a draw to me is nice in this game.
I don't think it suits any team, because Stranraer have got a game in hand. On for Ferran, Peterhead, really. So a draw doesn't suit anybody, I think.
I think before the game, if you offered four for a point now, they might take it, the fact that it's an away game and they're still within three points of Peterhead. But I'm hoping come 5 o'clock on Saturday that we've won the game, we're 6 points clear of them.
Because
that would be psychologically a massive, massive win going into February.
And obviously as well, if results go our way as well, Dumbarton have lost and Clyde have lost as well, that again just opens up that gap again. Clyde have got a game in hand, Dumbarton have got a game in hand, and as I said, Stranraer's got a game in hand as well, so the teams round about us have got games in hand, on us because of the Scottish Cup. So we kind of underestimate how big this game is. We have to finish this one with a win. As I said, because the next three games after that are winnable games. The Ayrshire, I mean, we've played against them at home already, and we've lost. It's a game we probably should have won. Dodgy penalty against us. We've got East Fife already as well, and then we've got Stranraer. So these are all big, big games. It's a big month. We'd like to think by the 1st of March that we've picked up at least 9 points out of them, there's four games.
Yeah, I think 9 points would just about see us through. I wouldn't say comfortable, but you know, in a much healthier position than we are now. Again, we're looking ahead, but the sole focus has got to be on Saturday, and regardless, we've got to get 3 points.
And it's a strange situation that we're in, because we talk about the players that we've got in the squad, we talk about options that he's got and all the rest of it, and you think, well, the squad that we've got, we should be doing a hell of a lot better.
It just comes down to that defensive mistakes, you know. They taking more chances up front from when we've got them. I think maybe 6 weeks ago we were saying that we weren't creating enough, we're now creating them, we're just now finishing them, turning that into a positive. We're in the right place to hear the efforts and goal, or we're just not converting it, but it's cutting out that defensive mistake. You kind of legislate for them in a game, you know. You can have the best tactics in the world or the best plans that you've looked at for 4 or 5 days, worked on it in training, come to the game, you get a defensive mistake, it just puts it off.
Well, you concede a goal within 2 minutes, and that just exactly. All your plans are out the window then. But as I said, we need to win this game. It's a big game. We'll be positive and we're going to win it. We'll have to win it.
Oh, I certainly think it's a game we can win. We're at home, we beat them at home in August, so there's no reason why we can't. Like you said, we've got a good team. The signings that have come in have looked good. The result wasn't great against Montrose, but the performance was good. We're good in the second half against Dumbarton, so there's positives there. Mm-hmm. If we can take that in the game against Forfar, I see no reason why we can't win.
I just think that a performance like that against a team like Montrose, we can. We could probably beat most of the teams round about us with that kind of performance.
It's replicating that performance that we have done. It's okay doing it away to Montrose when there's not as much pressure, but this will be a pressurised game on Saturday.
And we'll see how they cope with the pressure as well. Interesting team selections as well. We'll see what happens with them.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll have to be positive and think we're going to come away with all 3 points. So with that being said then, that'll be it for another Blue Tune podcast. My thanks as always to Martin for his insight. Our thanks go to our sponsor, Marco's Chipper, and to you guys, as always, for listening. Thanks again, and we'll see you soon. Cheers.